Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's the Offense Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, a show where the host is confused by the producer. Anthony, this is a celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Yes.
You're not happy though. You're having like an anti-celebration based what? Off of last night's sporting result for your this is for the Capitals. Congratulations to the Washington Capitals on advancing in five games, winning the first playoff series in the franchise since you won the Stanley Cup in 2018. Is that what that was for, Anthony?
Yes, that is what it was for, Craig.
Oh.
Ain't on my parade, don't you?
I thought, well, we talked more before the show about the basketball than the hockey. And so that's why I'm sorry, I just got, I don't know, maybe I thought you really liked fishing for your Lakers.
To be honest, I was hoping that we didn't even have to talk about it.
Oh, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. We can save it for the next segment, but we're going to talk about it. We'll also talk about the Commanders' return to RFK and what lies ahead in the challenge to make that a reality. Part two of our conversation with Washington Post Commanders beat reporter Sam Fortier coming up at 5 p.m. Never read the comments at 5:30. You'll hear from Logan on the Commanders not taking an edge rusher in the draft coming up at 4:30. But, Anthony, let's actually start with the Capitals quickly last night. And really, I would like to not thank the Capitals and not thank the Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets for letting me watch anything last night. By the time I got home and got my TV on, those games were over. The show ends at 7. By the time I got home and turned my TV on, the Capitals were up 2-0. The Warriors were down 20 within like 10 minutes. I was just like, I guess I'll watch these games, but for what? And for the Capitals, I mean, obviously, pretty stress-free day. You love that, you know, especially as they, you know, 2-0, it's sitting there for a while. They eventually bang home the third from Tom Wilson, and you feel pretty good about that going into the third period. And while we are sad for personal reasons that we're going to have to do our entire show tomorrow instead of getting off at 5:30 on a Friday, I mean, we are just so devastated that we have to do our show tomorrow. You get the point. It's a joke because we have to do our full show tomorrow. We're honored that we get to do our full show tomorrow instead of being off at 5:30 on a Friday. This is great for the Capitals. You don't let any doubt seek in. And I think on a bigger level also, Anthony, this gets them the equal rest basically as the Carolina Hurricanes. Because if this series had extended into Friday and, God forbid, into the weekend, Carolina is just sitting there. And not only does Washington leave no doubt and they get things straightened out very quickly, they do it with Alexi Protas back on the ice. And we talked to – how many people have we talked to? Everybody that we've talked to. Greg Wyshynski talked about it. Steve Wino talked about it. And yesterday, Sean McDonough talked about it with us before the game where they were all just like, if they get Protas back, watch out. And sure enough, he's on the ice last night, and they look much more like the Washington Capitals that got the number one seed in the Eastern Conference versus a team that was kind of skating by towards the end of the regular season, and then struggling even if they did win three of the first four against Montreal. But last night was much more dominant as opposed to the close games from the first half of the series.
Yeah, the close games definitely were a little stressful watching. I remember, I think it was game two or three, we'd go down one. No, we get on the board first, and they score. Then we got to come back and score two more. So, yeah, looking at this one was just a little bit more stress-free, a little bit more comfortable on watching. And then also shout out to the grade eight for setting the tone early. Like his goal, oh, my God, that was a snipe right off of the face-off. So it's good to see one of my teams doing well, because the other is headed to Cancun.
The basketball team that you root for outside of the Wizards, of course. They're joining the Wizards. Although the Wizards might be done in Cancun by now. They're already back home and getting ready for next season. It's jump season, says Will Dawkins somewhere. Yeah, Ovi last night, I mean, just comes out. He leads the team in shots. He gets off six of them. But to get that goal early and set the tone. And, you know, I go back to, I think it was... was it Wino Wyszynski? It was one of those two fine gentlemen that we previewed the series with, where I was just like, is there any world where the Caps can be dangerous and Ovechkin's not basically their best offensive player? And they were like, no. Like, he's got to be dominant. And he led the series in goals. He set the tone in multiple games. He set the tone in the series. Always, you know, he's going to play physical and he's going to have that element to his game in the playoffs. But the fact that he is in goal scoring form, I think, gives the Caps a great chance. Obviously, Carolina has been a thorn in Washington's side this year. So we will get some more preview from some smarter hockey folks coming up in, well, before the series starts, put it that way. We might do something tomorrow.
Where's Carolina, though, in Carolina?
Raleigh.
Okay. I mean, I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, as someone who grew up in the Carolinas, that is.
That's why I thought I'd ask
question,
you.
A question that I know. They are in Raleigh. Why there's a professional hockey team in Raleigh, North Carolina? That I can't tell you, Anthony.
So I take it you didn't get out to those games.
No, Raleigh was about 4 hours from where I lived. Like, we would go up to Hornets games and obviously to Panthers games, because I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. It's just 2 hours south of Charlotte. But you got to go another 2 hours west. East from Charlotte to get to Raleigh, and we weren't going there for any hockey games.
Yeah, that's too much and too far.
It would have been closer for us to go to Atlanta for the Thrashers for the 15 years that the Thrashers existed. Although that was most of my childhood. My childhood aligns with much of the Atlanta Thrashers' existence.
Nice.
And then they left and went to Canada. Where they're more appreciated. I still don't think we have any idea when this series is going to start. There's still plenty of series going in the NHL. Tonight, you got Maple Leafs Senators Game 6, Golden Knights Wild Game 6, Stars Avalanche Game 6, Kings Oilers Game 6, and then obviously all of those series could end tonight. That's the nature of a Game 6. Tomorrow, Jets and Blues. And then on Saturday, you have all those Game 7s that... or, you know, from tonight, if they're necessary. And then Sunday, Game 7, Blues Jets, if necessary. So the earliest this series could start is Monday. So we'll see how that, you know, when that schedule gets announced and when that goes down, because they don't want to let the series get too off kilter in terms of the stagger. So, you know, I guess if they all end tonight, maybe you could get some earlier, but I don't think so. There's probably some super hockey fan listening. It's like, you're an idiot. They start Monday. Okay, thanks. Thanks, guy. when we get back, a sport that I'm slightly on a more regular basis, more tuned into. The NBA playoffs saw the Los Angeles Lakers season come to an end last night. Why? I actually don't think all hope is lost for the Lakers. And also a word on the Rockets' absolute demolition of the Warriors last night. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, and we're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hey, goodbye to Anthony's favorite basketball team. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too. at the team 980. Where I have on the graphic, Anthony, T-Wolves eliminate Lakers in five games. Gobert, 27 points, 24 rebounds in series clinching victory. I almost put Lakers gone fishing in a sea of Anthony's tears.
Wow. You just want to kick me while I'm down. I'm down already. Did you see what I posted on Instagram last night? I was very unwell last night.
You were not good. You wanted to full-on crash out.
I did want to crash. Yes, I did.
Let me ask you this. As a LeBron Stan Lakers fan, I get being like, man, we don't have too many more years of this. Like, he's probably coming back for year 23 next year. I would not be surprised if there's a year 24 after that. Just because he's him, if you told me he plays 25 years and that's where he draws the line of like, I'm going to play a quarter century in the NBA because to this point it still looks like he can, that would be, just saying that out loud feels so dumb. But we know we're not getting much more than that if we even get that. So I understand that like every chance is so valuable. But did you really think that they had a chance this year?
Nah, I mean, I saw how the series was going. I didn't really have faith in the Lakers to get the job done just because they were just so small. The Timberwolves were the younger team, the more physical team, the more athletic team. And it was going to take LeBron James having superhuman game after game to, like, get the job done. And in that fourth quarter yesterday, even the second half, like, he just had no more energy because he was expending so much on the defensive side of the ball that, you know, he couldn't really give more on the offensive side of the ball. So if Luka's the only person that's, you know, cooking, Austin Reeves has been a shell of himself this entire series. Like, the Timberwolves just messed him up. And now you look to LeBron, but he's too tired. So what do you turn to? You can't look down the bench. So, yeah, I just had to chalk it up to, I mean, this just isn't, you know, their year. But it also sucks because the point you just made, we don't have more years of LeBron James, and addressing getting a big man is something that has been their Achilles heels the last 3 years. And the fact you still have not solved that problem 3 years later and you're losing because of that is just wow. Wow.
What's dude's name with the Hornets that they acquired and then decided not to?
Mark Williams.
Williams. I was like, it's Mark something. I was like, Mark Davis. No, that's the wrong guy. Mark Jones. No, he calls the games. Mark Williams. How bad must his knee have been, or must his knee have been, to be like, nah? Because, I mean, he played okay for the Hornets down the stretch.
Yeah, it was 15-10.
They had a long-term concern with him that, like, his knee is a ticking time bomb, I guess. And especially when Dalton Connect is a DNP CD, did not play coach's decision for so much of the back half of the season. So you basically ruin him for yourselves. Probably trade him this summer to let him go get a fresh start somewhere else. And I look at this roster in a very similar way to what the Mavericks were 2 years ago with Luka, 3 years ago, however you want to phrase it, the year before they made the finals. They trade for Kyrie. They crash out. They don't wind up making the playoffs. They then draft Derek Lively, add a couple of other pieces. In season, they trade for PJ Washington and for Daniel Gafford with the Wizards, and they go make the NBA finals. They need to go find Lively. They need to go find Gafford. They need to go find PJ Washington. And Austin Reeves can't crash out in the playoffs. Like, it starts there, right? If Austin Reeves gives them more offensively, because it's not like they got blown out in any of these games.
You know, except the first one.
These are close games. The first one, but like, okay, they come back and win game two. And then I guess the next two are road games, but it's 116-104, and that, you know, was closer.
It was
late.
Close, yeah.
And then free throws. And then 116-113, that's a one-possession game. This one's a one-possession game late, and they can't close it out. If Austin Reeves just averages 18 in this series, maybe they have a chance. Nevertheless, if they, you know, are getting 25 a night from him, which is what they're hoping for, or if Luka goes absolutely bananas and averages 35 for the series, you're just not going to get that from LeBron anymore, but you're still going to get 22 to 25, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, that's what you're going to get from LeBron, and he still was one of the best defensive players, if not the best defensive player in this entire series. But they have no rebounding. You know, LeBron's got 7. He's their leading rebounder, along with Luka with 7, and Jared Vanderbilt got 7 in 19 minutes, so I guess good for him. But Rui's an extremely limited player, offense only, and like good for him. He had 23 points, but he's got 0 assists because that's who Rui is. Like he is a will shoot, sometimes will score, will not give you a whole lot else player. Dorian Finney-Smith played 29 minutes last night. Like he's a role player. Austin Reeves has got to be more. You know, they dusted Maxi Kleba off last night. Gabe Vincent gave them good minutes. Jared Vanderbilt gave them good minutes. But, you know, Alex Len on the bench, nothing. Jackson Hayes on the bench, nothing. They looking for some offense. They don't even bother with Dalton Connect. So I think some of this you can definitely look at J.J. Redick and say, hey, could you have gone deeper? And the answer would be to whomst. Like, would you rather just take your chances with LeBron and Luka, or would you rather go the other way and try some guys off the bench who you have zero trust in? And so they've got to, this offseason, figure out how they build a better, more complete roster. And frankly, if Rob Pelinka, the current Lakers general manager, can't do it, I think he winds up on the hot seat here. And if I was J.J. Redick in the head coaching seat, I would sit back and, you know, be a part of the process and be a good teammate and all that. But ultimately, like, if we're sitting here at the end of next year and it's the same thing, I'm like, guys, we can't get a dude whose number one job qualification was he was Kobe's agent, being the general manager of this team. This is not professional. We gotta do something else.
Yeah, definitely gotta change some things up. But again, like they should have been doing this the last 3 years. Even when Anthony Davis spoke out about getting another big in there, because he doesn't want to be banging with Jokic and all these bigs. Like he was a stretch forward at the end of the day. Granted, you know, small ball does work, but it's not sustainable for success. And if you want to be a contender, like that's what you need. But I think when you look at Austin Reeves and the 6 turnovers he had, like, and JJ, this all he kept talking about in the post-game press conference about their inability to score. Granted, that is one side of the game, but also you got to be able to defend. And defense is ultimately what wins championships. Austin Reeves struggled. Luka struggled. Pretty much, like, everybody struggled. Even LeBron, like, he had his lapses where he struggled defensively. So I think that's where their mindset has to be next year. You still do have to score, but also you have to defend.
Yeah, I there's no doubt they have to defend, but at the end of the day, like, it's 103-96.
Yeah.
You can't score 96. That they scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. Now, they also only held Minnesota to 103 because Minnesota missed 43s or something like that. It was insane. Yeah, they went 7 of 47.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know they got that many. Oh, 53s?
Yeah, Ant went 0 for 11 from 3.
Yeah, he kept shooting.
So if he has a human day, if he goes 2 or 3, you know, Dante DiVincenzo, a 2 of 12. Like, this could have been a lot worse. And so I get that. But at the end of the day, when you score 96 points, I also get wanting to focus a little bit on the offensive side. I think it's worth pointing out. Like, I think J.J. Redick did an excellent job this year. It's his first year as a head coach, and he says he knows he can be better moving forward.
You know, I'll use my own thoughts to evaluate myself, and I'll use what my players say and what my coaching staff says to evaluate. But, you know, I know I can be better, and I know I will get better. I don't necessarily take any satisfaction from how the year went. That's not to say I'm not proud of what the group was able to do and how we were able to figure things out on the fly and put ourselves in a position to have home court in the first round. But there's always ways to get better, and I can get a lot better.
He certainly can, and, you know, he's got maybe 1, maybe 2, most 3 years left coaching LeBron, who says he's unsure how much longer he's going to play.
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group, and kind of just talk through it and see what happens. And then just have a conversation with myself on how long I want to continue to play. I don't know the answer to that right now, to be honest.
I'd be stunned if this is it. He's just too good. And the opportunity to play with Luka in his prime feels like too good to pass up. But we all should acknowledge that what we're seeing right now from LeBron and what we're seeing right now from Steph Curry, who, by the way, feels so much younger than LeBron, but like he's 37, man. And Steph is still doing this. Like, we are very, very lucky that we've gotten this much great basketball out of them, and we should enjoy it while it lasts, because there's just no telling when they, like, it's going to feel shocking when they decide to hang it up, because I think both of those guys have taken such good care of their bodies and are so good that they're probably, like, for them to play till the wheels truly fall off, either it would be an injury where the wheels fall off and they're just like, I'm not recovering, I'm not doing the rehab to get back to NBA playing level, or like their skills declining would take years at the NBA level, because they are that well conditioned and that special at the things that they do. So we'll see.
I don't have anything.
Yeah, you did. I cut you off.
I'm going to be sad, man. I really am.
Like, I feel like this is, well, you've had a ton of guys retire, but like.
But I've really had the chance to watch LeBron's entire career from the time he got drafted, I was 7 years old, to like what I am now.
So I remember when Shaq retired, and that was the one for me where I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, you don't remember the NBA without LeBron James.
Oh, I mean, nah, not really. Not really.
No. Like, I barely remember it. Like, I mean, 2003, I was 13. So, like, I had the Duncan championships with San Antonio, the first set. You know, I remember the end of the Jordan era. Like, that was when I was starting to become a huge basketball fan. So, like, I remember a pre-NBA LeBron. It's just been a minute. But I remember for Shaq, where, like, Shaq started in 92. I was 2 years old. And, like, when he retired, I was like, whoa, this is weird. Now, Shaq, also, the last couple of years was nowhere near the Shaq of his prime. So that one felt a little bit more of a gradual downhill. But yeah, when the defining superstar of a generation retires, it's a weird thing. And it's a little less weird when it's like the way that Kobe did it, where like, you know, and you get the farewell tour.
Uh-huh.
You have more time to do it. Right. With D-Wade, same thing. When it's just like, if all of a sudden one day they announce it's over, it's like, whoa, all right, we live in a different world now. All right, when we get back, Take Command takes a look at why the Commanders did not take an edge rusher in the 2025 NFL Draft.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, have you seen the Josh Connerly challenge?
Yes, I have. Toby and Darius actually asked me to do it, and you know, I just did it right away.
You did? Is there video?
There's no video of it.
Oh, let's
see. You want to see me do it?
Yeah.
That's easy.
You want to do it like right now, or all right, Anthony's hold on. All right, Anthony's going to do the Josh Connerly challenge. If you haven't seen the Josh Connerly challenge. Basically, you have to get down on your knees, and then you have to pop up into a pass set. And your pass set's terrible. You look halfway between a pass set and a boxer. But that was a little bit better. But we talked about it on the show this morning on Take Command, and then we pulled up the Instagram video of Logan doing an absolutely masterful job because Logan's actually pass set in the NFL, which, you know, seems like a nice skill to have on the Josh Connerly challenge. Let's get to it. From fun and happiness to pure unmitigated anger in the first of form of our first mailbag question. Logan, I've gotten various versions of this question. None quite as concentrated as James Liu, who both tweeted this at me and emailed me.
He emailed you.
Make sure.
He's locked
in. Yeah, emailed. Yeah, he sent in his question at HoffmanShow.com. And he said, on the next Take Command episode, I need you and Logan to explain what we're missing about the defensive line. No edges drafted, none on this early UDFA list that's being reported. Yeah. What am I missing? Here's where it gets fun, Logan. Who's going to pass rush? Who's going to set the edge for our god-awful run defense?
So, I'm glad that he worded it that way. Because I look at this roster, and let me, as I talk, kind of pull the roster up while we're speaking. But I look at Dietrich Wise, I look at Cleveland Farrell, I look at Holmes, I look at Dorrance Armstrong, and what those guys do is they do what they're supposed to do. They play within the context of the defense. Goldman is one of the kind of, I don't want to say best, but he's kind of like this, he's a nose guard, so he's not a great athlete, but he's like a plus athlete nose guard who understands how to sit double teams, take on blocks, and on the interior, that's something that people struggled with last year, partially because there wasn't someone who knew how to do that. So I look at the run defense, and I think it's going to improve significantly. Just out the gate, right? And then you say, well, who's going to pass rush? And so what I would say is last year when they were constructing the team, they didn't want Dante Fowler to play on first and second down. They wanted other guys to do that. And then injuries and different things, like he played well, that changed, right? And so when I look at Jacob Martin, like he has a little bit of Fowler to him from a pass rush standpoint. So let's say you get half the production. Let's say you get 5 sacks from him. Let's say you get 8 sacks from Dorrance Armstrong, which I think is very reasonable in terms of, like, if he doesn't get hurt, like, midway through the year, I think he had a rib, if I remember correctly. I think he's in that range, 7 to 9 range of sacks relatively easily, right?
So, which is what he does every single year.
100%. And then you say, here, we get a couple from Fowler. We get a couple from Frankie. Get a couple from Wagner off the ball in terms of their ability to rush. They're two of the best off-ball rushing linebackers in the NFL at the moment. And then I look at what you get from Kinlaw as a pass rusher on third down. Like, that's going to be, let's say he gets you 5 sacks, right? Like, all of a sudden, if you aggregate everybody together, and then Dietrich Wise, I don't think there's been a year since he's been in the league where he's had less than 5 sacks. People think of him as an edge, like, stopping run player, but he's very intuitive on play action pass. He's got a decent feel on first and second down as a pass rusher, and he sneaks into these sacks. So all of a sudden, you're like, okay, well, that's not a bad number when you kind of aggregate it all together. Now, there's no, you know, Myles Garrett necessarily. But what right. I will say is because you've gotten better, more consistent players on first and second down, you're going to be in third and long more, right? That's yep. like, that's the thing. Better on first and second down, you're going to be in third down long more. It's more obvious passing downs. And I coach a couple edge rushers in the NFL. The one thing that I harp more than anything is third and long is a money down. And if you can find ways as a defense to get into those situations more, then you maximize even average pass rushers' ability to create sacks. So I look at kind of the aggregate of it, and I think when you kind of say, oh, this guy's going to give us 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you're all of a sudden you're in like a very reasonable sack total. And then I think you pair that with what I think is going to be improved secondary play. Hopefully the quarterback holds the ball a little bit more. Hopefully you get into these situations where you can get what they call like coverage sacks. Hopefully that percentage increases by 5 to 7%. Maybe that's an extra 6 sacks on the year. So again, like all of this coming together, I think is going to be beneficial for the Commanders. And again, I'm not like, this isn't magic I'm doing. I'm just saying you got better on first, yeah, second down. That's unequivocal, right? And you've got guys with some pass rush, sneaky pass rush upside. So again, would it be nice if you brought in like, you know, I don't know,
Za'Darius Smith?
Yeah, Abdul Carter or whoever you're going to bring in.
Yeah.
Like that would be great, but like this is serviceable and I think it's going to be better than people think.
Yeah, I would keep my eye on Za'Darius Smith.
100%.
He's a free agent that I think fits what they do. He's a guy who can play all three downs and has pass rush juice, not as much as he used to, but still has some. But I think I think 2 points should be made here. I appreciate the question, right?
It's a good question. It's a legit question.
Yeah, 100%. And there are varying levels of vitriol in the fan base currently asking the same exact thing. And it's totally fair because they were not good enough in either department, pass rush juice off the edge outside of Fowler or their ability to stop the run last year. But those two things were related. Dante is needing to play more on first and second down. And I think you also have some more addition by subtraction potentially with John because the way he played didn't match with the way they played. And some of the freelancing and things really hurt them. And, you know, I think it's funny to look back now at some of the Chase Young, Montez Sweat, John Duran years. And it's like, everyone's like, oh, if Chase would just do what he was supposed to do. And yeah, Chase was probably the worst offender of freelancing, but John Allen also freelanced a lot. Like part of the problem is all those guys freelance all the time. And if you got one guy freelancing and the other guy covering up for it, there's like a delicate dance that works. And Duran and Montez on their side occasionally would like get it really right on a week in or week out basis. And you'd see some of the production. But that entire foursome would get sideways. And it's just like, guys, someone's got to be the supporting player here. You can't all be doing solos at the same time in the jazz band. Someone's just got to keep the rhythm. Someone's got to keep the beat. Someone's got to play the baseline. And so I think in the long term, you've gotten better because you have guys that are going to be more dedicated to the scheme. And that is the first point I would make that I think you made really well in more detail with some of the guys they brought in. A guy like an Eddie Goldman, who is like the ultimate, just like, I'm going to sit here and play the drums and just keep the rhythm and we're going to sync the double teams and do what we got to do. The other part of this is you are at the mercy of the market. That guy's not available unless you want to give the Cincinnati Bengals stupid resources for Trey Hendrickson.
2 first-round picks.
And unless you want to do that for a guy who's on the wrong side of 30, who you're going to have to pay $37 million a year, like that guy's not available. And I don't want to do that for Trey Hendrickson. All due respect, like he's an excellent pass rusher. He's got real pass rush juice, but he's not the complete player that Myles Garrett is, but he's going to cost you 90% of the cost. And he's older and the whole deal. So I just think that like there has to be a reality that the options weren't there to get that guy. Unless you think that like Donovan Ezeraku was that guy and he's way better than Josh Connerly and you can live with sacrificing Josh Connerly for Donovan Ezeraku, which I guess is a fair conversation to have amongst professional scouts who have varying opinions. But clearly that's not how they felt. They passed on Ezeraku for Connerly. Two, Adam Peters told Josh Connerly on the phone, we were sweating when the Bears were on the clock at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Until we picked you at 29. I think they had a top 15 grade on him in this class. And they clearly did not on Donovan Ezeraku.
I think the other thing I'd say too is, you know what else gets you sacks? Good offense. Offensive game flow, offensive structure. This is like totally a take command answer because you're like peeling it way back, right?
We're answering everything but the direct question of like, who's the dudes? But you kind of did that first. So yeah, take that.
Yeah, but the thing I would say too is like, if you're scoring more points, which right now I think we're constructed potentially, the team is constructed to score a lot of points, right? And if you're in good game flows where you're up by 10 points, like, you know what teams have to do? They have to throw the football. And even if you're an average pass rusher, and I'm going to get more that's the thing is like, I do like breakdowns for some of my clients, and I'm watching, you know, TJ Watt, for example, and I watch all of his reps. Like, and the thing is he gets a lot of third and 10 opportunities, right? Because game flow or whatever, Myles Garrett kind of not so much, right? Aaron Donald, when he played for LA, you're like, holy cow, like this is a third and 15. Like, and he's like in a wide six rushing the guard. Like, you know what I mean? It's just those opportunities can't be understated too. If you just increase, because basically as an offensive coordinator, you're trying to limit the number of straight drop back passes as much as possible, because ultimately that's like stretching your offensive line too much. So the one time you cannot do that is in a third and long situation. And if you do well on first, second down, if you're in a positive game flow, if you're up on a team, like they have to throw the football, you're going to see more of those opportunities. And even if you're still maximizing those opportunities, let's say at like 10%, you will have more sacks as a team when the year is concluded. And I think that's important to understand too. So even though Josh Connerly, you know, isn't an edge rusher, he does help the defense in theory create more sacks, because again, he helps the offense be more effective, be more efficient, score more points.
And then I think the final part of it too, on the sack side of it, is the coverage piece, which you said. Mm-hmm. So you've got hopefully a better Marshawn Lattimore. If not, that's a conversation that we'll be having all year long, and they'll have to go corner again next year in the draft. You hope Trey Amos comes along fairly quickly. And then that also unleashes Mikey Sainer still in the slot. Like, he's a good blitzer. And so can you get three sacks out of Mike Sainer still this year? The other thing I would say too, on both of those fronts, on like what coverage does, and then, you know, kind of the sack production element of it, sacks can be a little overrated. Like, they're devastating to drives. And there's a ton of like EPA data that suggests, like, in some, I think there was something that came out, like sacks are actually more hurtful than interceptions, which sounds crazy, but right. There were some like EPA data that came out about that, of just like how devastating sacks can be to drives, and then what it does to field position and the ultimate end result of that. But pressures can also be really devastating. And so yes, having someone who can finish is good, but having disruptive players who can give your defense opportunities to get interceptions, who force throwaways, force incompletions, like that is good too. And I think they've got some guys that can be really disruptive, even if they don't finish with sacks. And, you know, Daron Payne, for instance, his pressure percentage is the same every single year. One year he gets 11 and a half sacks or whatever it was. Most years he's sitting in the six range. It'd be great if he could get to that 11 again, especially as we just talked about how devastating sacks can be. But I think creating those opportunities, and like you said, the more third and long you get, the more creative Joe Witt Jr. gets to be, the more he trusts the individual coverage players, the more guys he can send on blitzes. So there's a ton of factors to this. But I think, you know, in terms of the people, I think some of the people that they brought in are better than people realize. And there was no opportunity to get the stud. And that's just the reality of the NFL. Not everybody gets one, because there's TJ Watt, there's Myles Garrett, there's Trey Hendrickson, and there's Will Anderson, there's three Parsons. Or four other guys.
Yeah,
Micah Parsons, and there's 32 teams. There aren't 32 guys. And hopefully next year, the Commanders some way, somehow can find out how to get one or create one out of, you know, a hybrid type of piece that falls to them that Dan Quinn knows what to do with.
Yeah, and I don't know. This is interesting. I'm just looking up the guy they signed from the International Pathway Program. You know, he's like got like a freaky profile for an edge rusher. You know what I mean? And so they do have some of these kind of, again, like I'm not saying he's going to make the team, but like developmental, traitsy guys that could figure something out. You know, so I think that if you're looking for like your traditional edge, right, like that like pass rushing guy, again, that's not really what they've done. But I think if you think defensive philosophy, they've made I think the right decisions and the right moves to raise the floor of the defense, which I think raising the floor of the defense increases, like we talked about, these pass rushing opportunities. And again, I think Jacob Martin's a good pass rusher, you know, like, and if you give him a lot of opportunities, a lot of bites at the apple, he's a guy that can finish. And I think he fits what they thought, you know, Fowler was going to be last year, where it's like a situational guy. And is he as good? Is he have the name recognition? No, but given the right situation, the right opportunities, like I think about him, Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, Dorrance Armstrong, like that's a pretty formidable group of guys who have some pass rush ability with Javon Kinlaw and Daron Payne or Jazan Newton on the interior. Like those guys can win one-on-ones, you know what I mean? And so then All of a sudden the dynamics a little bit, when you frame it like that, you're like, maybe there's not one guy, but I like the opportunity that of those six guys, one of those guys is going to win on one of the five offensive linemen and the back. Like, it just feels like a good opportunity. So
for sure. And as you mentioned too, off the top, we almost blew past the run defense part of this. Like, they got better edge guys on setting edges for the run. Dietrich Wise is very, very good at that. Dorrance is good at that. So there's a, you know, they've got guys. Cleland is good at that.
That's like what he's good at. But, and like Jalen Holmes, I think that he's sneaky good at
it. Jalen Holmes was really good at it last year. And so, you know, there's definitely, you know, Kinlaw. Can you put him out on the edge and see what happens there? I think that's an interesting one as well. So we'll see what they do and what kind of fronts they play. And there's a lot of questions I think we have. Good questions of like, hey, you could do a million different things. Which one are you going to do?
Right.
That we'll start to learn coming up in the spring. So as I was saying, Anthony, we watched Logan do the Josh Connerly challenge, and then we talked about all that stuff.
My bad.
And Anthony got a little butt happy.
I did. I think I was feeling myself after.
You did the Josh Connerly challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I went on the Commander's page and actually saw it as well.
Yeah. This is literally the first thing when I opened Instagram I saw. So there's that. So we talked about Logan doing the Josh Connerly challenge. We talked about what you just heard. We also answered a couple of other mailbag questions and looked at the rest of the NFC East drafts. If you want the full episode of Take Command, check that out wherever you get your podcasts. We will also be dropping our full conversation with Sam 48 there, as well as in our feed for the Hoffman Show. But if you missed part one yesterday, part two coming up at 5 o'clock. Well, I got one more thought I want to add to the edge rusher conversation next, before we get to 48 here on the Team 980.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Coming up at 5 o'clock, part two of our conversation with Sam Fortier about what lies ahead for the Commanders at RFK and to get to RFK and get back into D.C. And also some conversation about PSLs and tailgating and some of the football-y specific stuff when it comes to the Commander's experience. But Anthony, I wonder, coming off of our conversation with Logan about the edge rusher miss, if you will, in the draft. And by the way, we'll get into this deeper in Never Read the Comments at 5:30. Are we making the same mistake that we made with the offensive line last year? That's kind of where I think I'm at right now, where I just go, yes, the talent could absolutely be better along the defensive front, but it's not as bad as people think it is. And schematically, there's going to be stuff they can do, and the talent around it is going to improve, and the game circumstances are going to be different, and that's going to matter too. And I think that's kind of where I sit after the conversation with Logan, because he made a bunch of good points, including like Josh Connerly helps your edge rush, because if you can be up more in more games and create more situations where teams are just having to drop back and pass and they're chasing Jaden Daniels in that top five offense, well, now you get more opportunities to pin your ears back. And so there's just, it's a more complete football look. It's not as easy as plugging in Myles Garrett, but it is, I think, maybe not the best they could have done for the edge rushers, but I do think they've done what's best for the football team overall.
I think, well, to answer your question, are we making the same mistake? Maybe. And the only reason I say maybe is because I feel as though Jaden Daniels last year also bailed the offensive line out a lot last year. So I think it can be twofold to an extent. Like, Jaden Daniels definitely, you know, bailed them out, but also Cliff did a good job of trying to get the ball out of Jaden's hands, you know, get screens to the running backs and things of that nature. So,
but
schematically,
everyone thought they couldn't play. Like that they were going to throw up all over themselves and go 0-17 because their offensive line was so bad. And I feel like some people are just like, they're never going to get a sack. They're just going to give up 1,000 points a game. And it's like, yes, they gave up 55 to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. I realize it was bad. Also, if they could have stopped the run against the Eagles, they'd have more pass rush situations. And they've gotten way better up front against the run. Dietrich Wise, good run player. Eddie Goldman, good run player. Javon Kinlaw is an interesting piece. He hasn't traditionally been a good run player, but what happens if he becomes that kind of, what do they call it? The whatever edge term, that the elephant edge. Like, could he be a good run player in that? So, like, I just think that you have to look at a lot more than just the personnel when you're evaluating this stuff, and that's all people wanted to do last year, and I feel like they might be doing the same thing again. We'll talk about it more at 5:30 and never read the comments, but coming up next, part two of our conversation with Sam Fortier on the Commanders' attempts to get back to D.C.